What I'd like for you to do is to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to play off of a series that we are on. We're on this series called Mountain Move, and it's about how God has made us to be mountain movers. We don't always feel like that, but that's the Word of God for us. And I have found that there are times where I may not feel like what God says of me, and I have a choice. I either have to believe the Word of God or I have to believe how I feel. And I am teaching myself, and I am sharing this with you, is that whenever we have doubts, we stick with the Word of God. We view ourselves through the Word of God. And so what does God's Word say of us? It says that we are mountain movers. It says that when there is something that exalts itself against the name of God, the knowledge of God, that we are, as mountain movers, able to look at that thing and say, mountain, move. We're solution finders. We are problem solvers. The church ought to be those folks that whenever something is going down, we're like, there's a solution around here somewhere. There is grace, and there is wisdom, and there is a way to handle and deal with this situation. We're miracle workers. You may not feel like a miracle worker, but that's the Word of God over us. And so we're not going to change our circumstances. We're not going to change the Word of God. We're going to view those things in light of what God says. And so with all of that being said, there are times in our life where you ever heard of the armor of God in Ephesians? Yeah, Ephesians talks about the armor of God, and we put on this armor so that we can stand against the schemes of Satan, the devil. Anybody ever had one of those fiery darts slip past the armor? You ever had one of those? That's what today's about, really. Today, the point I want to connect for you is what happens when one of those darts slips past the armor. Sometimes it's because you're in the midst of the battle and you're in the midst of the fight and the darts are coming, those fiery darts are coming, and somehow or another you've got the shield of faith, but it feels like a dart got past the shield. And what do? And then some of you are like, look, I'm not even in the fight. I was just minding my own business. Some of you have probably been that way too, right? You were just minding your own business. You weren't causing any trouble for God or Satan. And somehow one of those arrows got to you. And so I want to read this to you because we read it in terms of how to keep the arrows from hitting us. We don't always read this in terms of what happens if one slips past the armor. And that's what I want to share today. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You see that? It's not against your coworker. Do you see that? It's not against that person that has done you wrong. Do you see that? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with, now here's the armor, it's coming here, girding your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, when one of the arrows seemingly has pierced the armor, it's found a chink in the armor, there's something that has knocked you off course. Here are some things that I think both families could teach us today about how we overcome those. And I want to take you to this first one. This understanding that God is Father. When Jesus came to earth, He revealed to us something that was completely different than what the prophets had revealed. The prophets spoke of God as Yahweh of God. But when Jesus came, He said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father, which is in heaven. And when He speaks of God, He doesn't speak of Him as just Yahweh, although He never ceases to be Yahweh God, the one who is. But He speaks of Him as Father, because it is important that we understand God in that role. In fact, as these two families, as they nurture their children, here's what is going on. They're building faith in their kids. You guys are building faith. You guys are building faith. And here's how it happens. Every day, you wake up and you're providing. You wake up and you're protecting. You wake up and you're meeting needs. And so before these two children, before they even know how to talk, they are being influenced by the faithfulness of these Christian families. They're being influenced by their faithfulness. And so what is the response then to the faithfulness? Is as the child grows up, they don't even have language for it, but they just know, Mom and Dad have got me. That home is a safe place. I watched Chris. If many of you who are visiting may not know, but Chris is also on our praise team. And for years, Chris will stop and he'll have a daddy moment. And it influences his worship in such a good way. I believe that Chris has learned how to worship God, his Father, because God let him be a daddy. And he understands the heart for his children and this love that he has. And so he's understanding the love of the Father. He's doing it right now. And you'll have people that they'll say, have heard some of his friends tell him, look, could you go tell one of those daddy stories again? And I'll go tell him, like, don't stop telling the daddy stories. Everybody needs to hear the daddy story. They need to know that God is Father. And you don't know this, but one day he was walking Kinsley to school. And I had the occasion to be going down that street. And I watched as Chris had Kinsley in his hand. And they were holding hands with her school book. And they were walking up the ramp to go to school. And I said, what an amazing example of a father's love. Do you realize, parents, that's our job. We set the course for our children to understand that why do we trust in God? Because we have been a part of His faithfulness for so long. We just know Him as a good Father. We just know Him as someone who is going to take care of us. Paul said this. He said in Philippians 3:10, one of those key verses that you ought to know in life is Philippians 3:10. It says that I may know Him. The Apostle Paul is writing this. Let me finish the verse. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. That word, to know Him. I got to turn my Bible to the side because here is what I wrote along with that verse. I put up there, experientially. Oh, that's such a good word, isn't it? I must know Him experientially. That means I must know God, not just from the text. There are a lot of people, they know the Word of God, but they don't know the author. They don't know the Father of the Word. And so they've only read this thing from this sort of academic, knowledge-based relationship with the Word of God. But you see that word in the Greek, it means that you know Him experientially. It means you have experienced Him. That you have, let me continue to read my side note, a personal knowledge of another person, not intellectual knowledge. See, it's a personal knowledge. What Paul is saying is, I want to know Him personally. I want to experience Him. And then I want to draw you to attention to a man named Moses, who it was said in Psalms, it said that God revealed His ways to Moses, but He revealed His acts to the people. Now, what did Psalms mean by that? It meant that when things happen, the people of Israel, they just made a note of that. Miracle. That's good. Miracle. We're saved. We were hungry. Now we have food. We have manna. We were thirsty. Okay, now we have drink. But what they could not seem to do is connect the dot between the manna that was on the ground feeding them and the water that they were drinking to the good God who was sending it. It's important that you make the connection. If you don't make the connection, you'll be like Israel. They saw the acts of God, but they could not connect the dots. This stuff was coming from a God that loves you. Do you realize that, all the things you've gone through? All the things that have happened to bring you to where you are, it is a loving God wanting to have a relationship with you, desiring to have a relationship with you. And so I say all of that to say this. There are times you will not understand what is going on around you. Is there anybody in the room who perfectly understands every circumstance and situation in your life? Okay, good. There are no liars. That's good. Okay, so we're all in this. There are just times where we don't understand. We can't figure out what's going on. We don't understand why. And it is in those moments when we don't understand why that we go back to what I've just said. When I cannot understand what is going on, I can at least hold on to the heart of God. That is so important. There are times where you will not understand what is going on. But what you can hold on to in those moments is you can hold on to your knowledge of the God who is holding you. And that's why those two things are important. But now what about the wounds when this thing has gotten past us? There are two ways back in the days of the Bible that wounds were taken care of. One is a Jewish way and one is a Roman way. And it's good to see both of them. Psalms 147:3 tells us how the Jews handled wounds. I'm no nurse, so I'm doing the best that I can, okay, with this. But in the Jewish tradition, they didn't have much of a tradition of suturing or stitching wounds. They would bind wounds together. And so they would let them heal from the inside out. Oh, that's good. And so what they would do is they would realize that if they close these things, that an infection could grow. And so they would let them just heal from the inside out. I understand that because my wife had an appendix rupture. And it seeped. I don't know what it was, but apparently it was bad. It was like 10 days in the hospital bad. And they said, we can't sew you up. We're going to let you heal from the inside out to just make sure that this thing heals and there's no infection. That's how the Jews did it. They healed things. They would take them, they would bind them, and they would let them heal from the inside out. Now look at Psalms 147:3 and see if that makes any more sense to you. The psalmist says, he heals the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. Do you see that? There are times where we would like for things to heal on the outside in, you know? And so we attempt to make the great face that everything's good, you know, because we're good Southerners around here. And so when somebody says, how are you doing? They don't really want to know, right? I'm like, come on, y'all. We don't really want to know. We're Southerners. It's just a tradition, you know? We think we're so much nicer than the people up north. The people up north, they just tell you, I don't care. You know, we just act like we do. We have some Northerners, they're laughing. Yeah, I know. And so someone says, how you doing? And we go, oh, I'm doing just fine. Do you know that God can't deal in the realm of, what would you call it? A realm that is not reality? There's probably a word for that. He can't deal in a realm that is not based in reality. God deals in reality. And so if the reality is that you are hurting and your heart is broken, do you know it's okay to say that you're hurting and your heart is broken? It's okay, because what happens is when you're honest about it, God can deal in reality, and so He can begin to heal you from the inside out. That's this amazing thing I think that is going on with the Bryan family, is that even part of sharing your story is part of God healing you from the inside out. And it just felt like this had to be done. And I don't think you're done sharing it, by the way. I think you're going to continue to share the story. I think that story is going to continue not only to heal your hearts from the inside out, but I believe it's going to heal a lot of people and speak to many. And so there's something unique I want to point to now about this family, is that what happened today is they praised God in a way that they won't even praise Him in heaven that way. Now let me explain. Because in heaven, they're going to be united with the Lord. They're also going to be reunited with their son. And so it'll all be together then, and it'll all be fine. Today, here, right now, is where joy and sorrow are mixed together. It's a unique thing when you get to see a believer. I think we're the only ones that can do it, really. That we can mix joy and sorrow and still praise. It's kind of, I think that's what David meant when he said, yet will I praise you, Lord. That's the kind of thing that happens here on earth. Some of you might be in the midst of one of those right now. And you'll be like David. You'll say, yet will I praise you, Lord. Because it'll all be made known over there on that side. It'll all be fixed on that side. But what about now? Well, I'm going to praise you now. And that is a beautiful, it is a beautiful expression that I really do believe only Christians can do. And then lastly, what about these Romans? How did they heal wounds? I'm taking this from someone I respect greatly, Pastor Bill Johnson. He has a church in Redding, California. And he shared about how the soldier would have this shield of faith and he would hold it in his left hand and then he would have a small dagger. When it says sword in the scriptures, really a small dagger, not very long at all. And what they would do is they would hold the shield with their left and then they would reach around this shield with this short dagger. It was for hand-to-hand combat. And we think that it's mostly for offense. We talk about using the Word of God. That's where Paul is using. He's talking about using the Word as a sword. And we think about it only offensively. But Paul may have had this in mind because this is what the Romans did. When they were injured in a battle and there was no way to get to medical attention and you just had to fight, and one of those arrows had found its place, maybe in a thigh or an arm or whatever, do you know what they would do with that sword? They would take that sword. This is not pleasant. And they would sometimes cut a place where that arrow could be pushed on through so that it could exit out. Sometimes they would throw pebbles back in those days. They would sling pebbles and pieces of lead and things like that. And sometimes those things would get past the shield of faith and it would get in there. And then what do you do if you're in the midst of the battle? They take that dagger and they would turn it on themselves and they would get out the pebble. They would get out the lead. They would get out the arrow. And then they would treat it. Do you see what they're doing? They're ministering to themselves the Word of God. That's what I believe Paul is saying that we've missed in the midst of it. We thought it was just an offensive weapon. It's also for us. There are times where the things just slip past the armor. And what do? You've got what you need. You have the Word of God. Did you see our family standing on the Word of God? Both families standing on the Word of God. What do then when the armor slips past? You take that sword, the Spirit, the Word of God, and you reach in there and you begin to minister to yourself the Word of God. And then the Word of God begins to change the way you see people. It begins to change the way you see circumstances and situations. And you literally become able to minister to your own self. And then as that happens, don't forget this verse, Philippians 4:7. It's just a page over for me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? A peace that surpasses understanding. Some translations say it transcends comprehension. What is he saying? That there is a peace of God that goes beyond my own understanding of why I'm at peace. So let me ask you this. If there is a peace which transcends understanding, how many of us have ever been in that place where we simply had to understand what was going on? Right? We want to understand, right? We want it to fit our head. We want to understand. Audrey and I were, as I was out on the porch and I was listening to her, we were talking about that very thing. There are times in life where you just can't understand. And you want to know why. How many of you have ever asked why? See, we're all alike in here. I think we're human. I think it's a room full of humanity. Yeah, we want to know why. But over the years, I've learned this. Sometimes I can even get the why, but the why doesn't heal my heart. You ever been there? You get the logical reason for why something happens, but that doesn't heal your heart. And so something else has to replace that. Something else has to heal my heart. And so if you're there, if you're asking why, then the message of the two families, the message of the Word of God says this: there is a peace and it transcends our understanding. And so you don't even have to understand sometimes. But the Lord, in the midst of that, you'll say, I don't always have to understand. I'd like to. Go on and admit it. I'd like to, and sometimes I do. Sometimes, you go a little ways and you figure things out. But more than anything else, when I pray for people, it's this: that God would guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and that you would experience a surpassing peace that you can only find in Him. And many times you do that through, you minister the Word to yourself. So here's what we're going to do. Y'all stand up with me. Was that a sermonette? All right, I tried to get to the point. Somebody say you should get to the point every week. I have more points most weeks. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to allow anyone who needs to leave to leave. I know we got some family gatherings for both of you guys, and so you may want to get to some dinners and things like that, and so we're going to allow you to do that. I'm going to pray over you guys, and then if you are in one of those situations where something's pierced the armor and you came in today with a need, we want to minister to that need. And so I'm going to ask the folks that are willing to minister, if y'all come on down here while I pray. Y'all come on now. And we're going to have some people down here. It may be that first you need to have a relationship with God as Father. You didn't know anything about that. Hadn't been there. That story of Chris says, man, I'd like to have some of that. Well, you can. And so we'd like to introduce you to God as Father. We do that through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. You may have come with a need and a sickness, a relationship, any of those things. And if you just feel like it's a little bit more than you today, then these folks are going to be here to do that. So we're going to release everybody. And as everybody is filing out, I'm going to trust you to have the courage to go against the grain, kind of like a salmon. Everybody's going to be going out and you'll be like, I got to have some of that that he talked about. And just move against it. All right? So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I am so grateful for the weight of glory of what is going on today in these two families. Lord, a demonstration of your Father heart, of family, that demonstrates just consistently protecting and providing and creating an atmosphere for children to grow up where they just trust you because they just know you as Father. I thank you for the weight of glory of a story that, Lord, mixes both joy and sorrow and says, yet will we praise you, Lord. And probably encourages the hearts of many and speaks to many people's hearts today. And so, Father, we just give you praise for the two children that we had today, for the people that are in the room, that, Lord, that you would minister to us out of your great love. We know that you will. And so we just pray for boldness for anyone that may be a little bit too afraid to come, that might be a little bit too afraid to admit it, that courage and boldness would rise up, that healing is in your wings today, Lord Jesus, and that they would taste of that. God, we are grateful. There are just some moments that probably when we walk away today, if somebody said house church, we would say, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm just glad I was there. There's just some days where we're just glad we're just in the presence, and we thank you in Jesus' name for it. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.